had your Bibles this morning, turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 112. Last week we looked at mercy, how to gain mercy of the Lord, and a little bit about mercy. This morning we're going to look at blessing. What does it take to be blessed of God? Now, we'll take just a minute. A Hebrew word for blessed in this passage, kind of a cool word. It means to be happy. It means to be straight or level. In other words, everything is in balance. Everything is the way you want it. You may not. How many of you notice when a picture is not level in your house? How many of you walk through and a picture is there and it's just got to be straightened up? Okay. Maybe you notice something that's just not right. Your car, a tire is a little low and it just bothers you. Or maybe there's just something that bothers you. Well, this word means where there's nothing bothering you, where you're happy in the Lord. You're happy with the things of life. Now, all of us want to be in that position. That does not mean, this does not mean there's not trouble or difficulty around us. It does mean, though, that God has made us contented in our souls. We're blessed of God. Now, everybody in this room wants to be blessed. We'd like to have God to bless us. But I want you to notice in this passage, there are five things that we can do to get the blessing of God, to get the Lord's attention and have the blessing upon us. So this morning, if you could picture in your mind, maybe there's something that's a little bit out of whack for you. It's not quite level. And whenever you try to hang a picture, I can remember when Susan and I would go into a house, we're getting ready to hang all the pictures, start hanging a picture, you'd kind of go like this. And it's a little bit off. A little bit to the right, a little bit to the right. No, a little bit to the left. I mean, it's back and forth. And you say, oh, that's it. Well, that's the word blessed. That's it. And so this morning, I'd like to have everybody in our church family in their heart say, that's it. I'm blessed. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean to the Lord? What do we do for the Lord's sake that he looks at us and says, I'm going to bless Victor. I'm going to bless Eddie. I'm going to bless them because they've done all the right things. I want you to notice, if you would, in Psalm 112, we're going to read it. Notice, if you would, praise you, the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. It's like his name shall be exalted with honor. The emblem of his family will be exalted with honor. That's his horn. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. And he shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Now, I want to take just a minute this morning. Notice number one, the first thing that's listed that we must do to be blessed of God. And notice, if you would, in verse number one, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not a word that we look at and say, well, I'm scared of the Lord. Well, there is a measure of that when we're growing up and there's a little bit of fear of our parents. It causes us to want to do the right things. In other words, it causes us to want to stay out of trouble. the fear of my mom and dad coming home with a bad report card struck in my heart where I didn't want to do that. So that's the good kind of fear. Well, this word is respect. It's to be in awe of the Lord. Now notice, let's read it again. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. So when you and I put our give the Lord our awe and our respect, we give him, and let me give you a couple of ways that can happen. You may say, well, I respect the Lord. Well, when we take, do we take time out of our day and we get alone and we sit down and say, okay, Lord, I want to talk to you. Is the TV going? Is we've got our computer up and running and we're just sort of fitting him in. A wife, when you're sitting watching TV and a ball game's on, your wife says, hey, honey, would you help me with something? Yeah. There's a lack of respect. Doesn't mean that you don't really respect her, but at that moment, she is not in awe. And I want to remind you today that all of us in this room, whenever you and I do the right thing, Jesus Christ is always in awe in our heart. And the Lord says, I'm going to bless that man. I'm going to bless the man that no matter what he's doing, he stops, takes time, and gives me honor and respect. So you can give the Lord respect in your devotions by blocking things out. You can give the Lord respect and awe when you come into the Lord's house. There just should be something special about this place. Not because necessarily that you helped to build it, or you gave to the church, or you help install those blinds or windows or pews or whatever, but that this is the Lord's house. There's a certain awe that comes in. When you come in here, it's like you're meeting with the Lord. I love to come in here during the week. And it's all quiet, dark. Come in here into this altar and just pray. Lord, it helps me to block out everything, all the distractions of this life, and just have a presence of the Lord in my life, to give him my respect. So today, do you give the Lord respect? Do you give him the respect that he deserves? When you're about ready to make a decision, do you give him the respect in that decision? Lord, what is it you want? Many times we make decisions because it's what we want, and we don't give him, Lord, in this decision, I want to defer to you. Do you have an opinion on this decision? This car that I'm about ready to buy, this job that I'm about ready to take, this statement I'm about ready to say to somebody I work with or a neighbor or to my wife or to my husband, Lord, I want to give you the proper amount of respect. What do you think? When you respect someone, you lift them up on a pedestal. They're in awe in your sight. The Lord said, the man that puts me on a pedestal of his life with his respect, I'm going to bless. That's number one. Notice he says, blessed is a man that feareth the Lord. But notice the second thing. Now you'll notice the man is blessed. Well, you'll notice, if you would, that greatly delighteth in his commandments. In other words, there is a joy about God's word. And when the word delight is, it's the joy of your heart. Now, you may have a lot of things that delight you. Maybe there's a lot of different meals that delight you. Maybe just food in general delights you. It does me. And so, you know, you look at things and what really delights you? Well, there are some things that really cause you a joy in your heart. It delights your soul. So he says, blessed is the man that delighteth greatly in his commandments. In other words, you delight in reading the Lord's word. You delight in trying to find the things that would cause you to please the Lord. You want to find the things he would like for you to do, and then you want to please him. You know, if you really want to be a good husband, you'll find the things that your wife enjoys and you'll get joy from doing those things. If you want to be a good wife, you'll find the things that your husband enjoys, what he likes to eat, maybe things he likes to do, sit down and watch a ball game with him, even though that's not maybe your joy. And vice versa. Maybe a husband says, look, honey, what would you like to do? If you'd like to go shopping, I'll walk with you in the mall. You know, I can tell you this. You have to work at changing your heart to delight in the things of God. You have to say, Lord, I want to make things right in my heart. I want to delight in your commands, what you want me to do. In other words, the things that you would like for me to do, I want to delight in those things. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 5. Notice this verse. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. In other words, they're not hard to do. They don't wrangle us. In other words, when the Lord says, I don't want you to use bad language or lose your temper. Okay, Lord, I won't do that anymore. And whenever you do something, you don't get grieved about, well, you know, they deserved it. And I just needed to say it. You don't get grieved over being obedient to the Lord. There is a delight in your heart. The Lord says, oh, I'm going to bless that man. I'm going to bless that woman. That delights in the things that I ask him to do. Doesn't that bring you joy? When you take your children and you say, look, I want you to clean your room. I want you to make your bed, make it look nice. And you go in there and they vacuumed. Now, they went in there and their bed is made. You can even give a lot of grace when the bed is a little crooked, but they really tried. Do you understand? The Lord's the same way. He gives us mercy when we don't do things just right, but we're really trying. The Lord says, I'm going to bless that man. I'm going to make them happy in their soul. I'm going to make them where they're level in their heart. There's nothing out of balance in their life. I'm going to make it where no matter what's going on around them, inside is balanced. It's level. It's peaceful. They're satisfied. I'm going to bless that person that has a respect for me and awe for me. And I'm going to bless that person that loves my word, that loves. Now understand this. Notice the phrase in Psalm 112, verse number 1. And blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. It's in the things he's asked us to do. It's in the laws that he has. We take our lives and totally adjust our lives and fit into what he asks us to do. So if he says, you shouldn't lie, which he does, I shall not lie, then I'm not going to lie. If he says, you're not supposed to covet, then I'm not going to covet. And that command is not grievous to me. Man, I wish God would just let me lie once. Then the Lord says, I'm not going to bless that guy until he delights in my word, in my commandments. So your child goes in and makes the bed and, cleans everything up. And maybe they didn't dust. And you can take your finger and go like that on the top of their dresser. But you walk into the room and the bed's made and the floor's vacuumed and everything looks nice. And they're just standing there beaming. You want to be good to them. That's the blessing of God. The Lord says, I delight in being good and blessing the people that try to please me, try to find my commandments and do them from their hearts. There's not many Christians like that. And I think we go with untold blessings left in heaven. Prove me out herewith, and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive. You see, in Malachi, he tells us that I've got things for you that you could never, ever go without if you did the right thing. Notice with me, if you would, take your Bible and turn to Malachi chapter 3. I want you to see this. Now, this is a command. But notice the attitude. Now, we're just going to pick this one. I'm not preaching on tithing. I'm just trying to give you a clear example. Notice Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. Even from the days of your father, you are gone away from mine ordinances. In other words, you don't want to do what's right. You don't want to do my commandments. And have not kept them, my commandments. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return to you? Notice the attitude. What do you mean to return to you? Talking back to God? You're not going to get the blessing of God that way. Just, why do I have to do that? You're not going to get the blessing of God that way. Well, notice verse number 9. You're cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me of this whole nation. So he says, look, not only will I not bless you, I'm going to curse you. I'm going to put a curse on you. The word is, I'm going to allow Satan to, I'm going to step back and let Satan have you, and your finances are just going to be a wreck. Because you have not delighted in the obedience of my command to tithe. So notice what he says. But, look in verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out, here it is, what's the word? A blessing. That there shall not be room enough to receive it. So we're going to end up with blessings left in heaven. When we get there, I'm wondering if the Lord's not going to have a whole room full of blessings that he's going to say, this is what you could have had. If you would have just given me the respect that the King of Kings deserves. If you would have just delighted in obedience. If you would have delighted in my commands. Now, folks, today, if you want the blessing of God in your life, we don't get to choose the commands that we want to obey. You tell your children to go clean up their room, and they go in there and dust the furniture, but the bed's not made and the floor's not vacuumed. They didn't clean up their room. And so the Lord doesn't want to have to come around to us all the time and say, now don't lie and don't use filthy language and don't lose your temper and don't covet and don't get bitter. He doesn't want to follow us around and say, don't or do. He wants us to delight in saying, Lord, I want to please you. And he says, when I find that person, let's go back in Psalm 112. Blessed is the man that endureth, that feareth the Lord, and that delighteth greatly in his commandments. He doesn't even just say, I'm going to bless the guy that delights in my commandments, but delights greatly. In other words, it's one of the desires of his heart. If you were to say, what is it that you like to do greatly in your life? I would say it would be one of the top 5 things you like to do in your life. And if I were to go around the room and say, what are some of the top 5 things you like to do in your life? In other words, give me the list of 5 things you'd like to do. I wonder how many of us would say, I want to please the Lord. That's number 1 on my list, or number 2 on my list. Number 1 on my list, I want to love the Lord with all my heart. Number 2, I want to please Him. I want to do everything that He says. I wonder how many of us say, I want to totally obey the Lord. That's on your top 5 list. Well, he says, if you're going to delight in his commands, but then he changed it and says, delight greatly in his commands. It might not be top 5. It might be top 3. If you're married today, let's take just a minute. What is the number 1 priority in every Christian's life that we ought to do? Let's take just a minute. What is it? Number 1, what is it? Well, what's the number greatest command? Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, mind, body, and soul. So the number 1 command is to love the Lord. Okay, so I want to love Him. Now, they're intermingled. So when you, the love of God, I read it, 1 John chapter 5, the love of God is that we obey His commands and do it without grief. Okay, so the loving of God is very definitive. It's not just this oozy feeling. It's that you want to obey Him. Okay, but then he says, look, the person that number 1 wants to love me, I want them to love me. Number 2, What's the second thing if you're married today, but probably the greatest thing that you ought to do? Love your wife or your husband. Number three. Top three. We know number one's pretty easy. Number two's, well, number one's clear. Number two, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. And so, you know, you're supposed to love people. And I would think in amongst people would be your mate would be number one. So to love the Lord and to love people, love your mate, one and two, what'd be the third one? Maybe, I don't know. Well, how about I want to do everything the Lord says. I want to obey Him. It ought to be top five. If you're going to delight greatly. If you were to say to me, what are the greatest things in your life that you enjoy? It wouldn't take long for me to get to those five. Now, notice it with me if you would. The third thing. We've got number one. You'll notice he says one of the ingredients in becoming a Christian that's blessed of God. Number one is to have great respect, a healthy respect for the Lord, to be in awe of the Lord. Number two is to delight greatly. But I want you to notice number three is the man is blessed that is gracious and full of compassion. Look in verse five. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. In other words, he is generous. He's got a compassionate heart. He's willing to, notice if you would, verse 4. Unto the upright there riseth a light in darkness, and he is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. He is gracious. I wonder how many Christians work at their top five list. I want to be gracious. This would fit underneath delight in His commands. I want to be gracious. You see, when He gives us a clear command, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. Well, there's a certain compassion that goes with that. That's the reason I think He told us the story of the man that's beaten up and thrown in the ditch, and you got two preachers that walk by and were too busy to take care of him. Then you get a Samaritan that is rejected by everybody, comes by, and he takes care of him. The Lord saying, look, the nobodies are the ones that are pleasing me, not the somebodies. So I would ask you today, are we full of compassion? I think that goes along with, do you consider others before yourself? Now, it's easy for a mom to do that about her children. But do you consider others before yourself in things that you do in life? Do you consider, well, maybe I'll make an extra loaf of bread and send it over to so-and-so. Maybe I'll make some extra cookies and send it to work. I remember working as a plumber. I left the church in Chicago, and I was getting ready to go to the church in Memphis. And I guess I was 26 years old, 27. Jeremy was a little boy, four months old. And I was working as a plumber, and we get up at 6 a.m. We go to work at 6. It was hot in Texas, so you work from 6 to 2. And you get up at 4:30 or 5 and go to work. And about 9 o'clock, there'd be a break time. 8:30 would be a break time. A couple hours, you'd be a break time. And there was this Spanish guy that was there. He was the head plumber. And we'd be working away, and he'd say, okay, break time. And everybody'd come over, and we'd all sit down. And he'd had this sack. He'd open it up, and he would say, okay, which you want, hot or mild? And he had his wife got up at 4-something in the morning and made something. Tortillas. Something. It had eggs, sausage, and something in it. And she made a bagful every morning. And he would say, okay, what do you want to try? I'll take a mild one. You know, you start there. And whenever he tells the story, he said, "Oh, I like hot." He said, "I'll sit there." And he said, "That's the reason I had kids laying right in my forehead." So what are you talking about? He said, "I have one kid on this side and one kid on this side. And I'll start eating my jalapeno peppers. And when I start sweating, I turn this one, he'll wipe my head. I turn this one, he'll wipe my head. And I just keep piling them down." He said, "Oh, it's so wonderful." I said, "You're crazy." He said, "Oh man, it's wonderful." He says, "Would you like to try a hot one?" "No, thanks. So I'll take a mild one." Boy, they were so good. I mean, I think she had onions and the sauteed onions and some cheese and eggs and sausage and then the something. And she had little layers of something. So the one side was mild, one was medium, and one was smoking hot, I'll tell you. And so every morning, ate something, break time, everybody says, "Man, I'm going to go." You tried to work your way up the ladder and still be able to work the rest of the day, you know? I mean, but you're so excited. And I remember all of us once in a while say, "Why does your wife do this?" "Oh, she just likes to be good to people." So when I think about someone blessed of God that has, notice the wording, verse 4, the last phrase, "He is gracious and full of compassion." Maybe you notice somebody that is had a baby, and you said, "I'm going to take them. Some cookies, or I'm going to go buy." And I know that the husband's been out of town. Maybe he's been out of town for a while, and I'm going to go by and mow their yard. Or I'm going to go by and do this. Or I'm going to go by and do that. Now we can't do that for everybody, but I've done that before. I'm going to see somebody that's got an issue, and let me come mow yard, load up my mower, go over there and mow the yard for them. "Oh, thank you so much." I mean, we've had people in our church that have gotten sick, real sick, and been sick for 3 or 4 weeks and couldn't mow their yard. And so all I'm trying to say is I wished I thought of that more. Compassion, thoughtful. It's a part of having the blessing of God in your life. And remember, he said, if you'll tithe, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. If you'll have compassion, I'll open the windows and pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. If you'll put others before yourself, if you'll think about others. Now, folks, that's a completely different mindset. Is to, oh, you can have my place. It is to come up here. Pastor, could my family and I sit in the choir? We'll take the place of Augustus, since they've done it 3 or 4 times. We'll take that. It is that spirit of, "Pastor, can I help with cleaning? I see people cleaning here. I'll stay next 2 or 3 weeks. I'll come in and clean the auditorium, or I'll do this." It is the thoughtfulness that is intrinsic to a blessed man of God. I don't want anything for it. I just want to be a blessing. Because I want God to be a blessing to me. I want Him to be pleased with me. You shouldn't do anything to get Him to bless you. You should do everything that He's pleased with you. And then He delights in blessing us. First thing, in awe of the Lord. Second thing is delight in His commands. The third thing is to be gracious, to be thoughtful, to be compassionate. And I'm reminded when I say, "Well, I'm compassionate," then I see in verse 4, He is gracious. And what's the word before compassion? Full of compassion. He thinks about it a lot. When I go to on the border, or to Uncle Julio's, or one in Loudoun, I order cheese dip. I love cheese dip. How many of you like cheese dip? How many of you like them to come out and give you cheese dip, and it's a half a bowl, and give you a big bowl, and it's half full? How many of you have ever seen that and said, "Man, why do they do that?" Raise your hand. Let me see it. Let me see it up. Come on, be honest with me. Okay, I see them all over the place. Yeah. Why don't they give me a half a bowl? I ordered cheese dip. Why did they give me half a bowl? I wonder when the Lord says, why does Pittman only compassionate half the time? Why does he only think about praying for Joe Dill half the time? Why does he only think about trying to help Carrie half the time? Why isn't he full of compassion? So you can see that's quite a challenge to be blessed of the Lord. But if you work at it and it becomes your nature, can you imagine the angel saying, get another blessing, put it out. Get another blessing, put it out. Open that window. Hey, get those blessings going. Wow, you and I, we'd be overwhelmed just by doing the right thing. Well, notice number four. He must live upright. Look with me, if you would, in verse number four. Unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. To be upright is to always wanting to do the right thing. It's a mindset. I always want to do the right thing. Now, many times our flesh takes over and say, you know, I just want to pay that guy back. Well, I just like to say what I think. But when is it that we're going to replace that with no matter how we're treated, but I just want to do the right thing. I just always want to do what's right. The upright, there ariseth light. You know what the Lord says? I will give the upright light. And notice what he says, in the darkness. When you say, I just always want to do what's right. There are some times, have you ever been where you just say, you know, I don't know what's right now. I don't know what I should do right now. Well, if your heart's intrinsic desire is, Lord, I want to do what's right. The Lord says, I'll give you more light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. But that's not just for everybody. It's for the people that desperately want it. It's not for some rebellious teenager or rebellious adult or some husband that wants to run around his wife or some wife wants to run around her husband. He's not going to give you more light. You're going to be walking around in darkness and stumping your toe and putting your foot in your mouth and all kinds of things and saying, why is my life so miserable? Because you haven't chosen to be upright. You have to choose to be upright in your home, in your heart, at work. I just want to do what's right. And the Lord says, I'm going to bless you. I'll give you more light, but I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. If you'll just purpose in your heart, I just want to do the right thing. And God will bless you. And then number five, I want you to see this. The blessed man of God must use good judgment. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number five. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Hebrew word, a good verdict. It's a legal term. He will guide his affairs by weighing the evidence. What does the Lord want? What does my flesh want? I'm going to do what the Lord wants. I'm going to make a good decision. I'm going to use discretion. No matter what I want to do, I'm going to sit down and say, Lord, what do you want to do? I'm going to put it with what I want to do. You see, this is the problem with teenagers a lot of times. I want to do what's right, but the desire to be accepted among other friends is so great. They don't value the opinion of God enough and the principles of God enough to include that in their verdict. And they make the wrong decision. They don't use discretion. There's many a wife and many a husband that because they've gotten crossways somehow in their heart, they stop using good decision making. The ability to make the right verdict. You know, whenever you're in a trial, you got 12 jurors. People are presenting the case. Think of this and think of that and think of this. If you've ever been on one of those, you know, you make some notes about, I remember this thing and I remember this thing and I remember this thing. You put it all together and you try to make a good decision. That's this word. Is that the man that's blessed of God analyzes the things of God, and that's all he considers. He just wants the truth. He doesn't consider his own desires, his own flesh. And that fits in with compassion. Full of compassion. He doesn't consider himself first. So do you make good verdicts? Do you make good decisions? Notice the wording. He says, and he will guide his affairs, his matters, his actions, his answers with discretion. With good verdicts. Your wife, how many of you, don't raise your hand, do not raise your hand, have ever had your wife snap at you or your husband snap at you and just said something, and so you have to make a verdict right now. And my verdict is, that wasn't right. I'm going to snap back. That wasn't right. I wonder how I can get her. Get him. So I just not say anything. Wrong verdict. The Lord says, I'm going to bless you if you'll just seek the right verdict. What I think is right. Today, are you upright? Well, I want you to notice, you make good judgments. Well, let's take just a real quick minute. Notice the blessings. And I guarantee you, you're going to enjoy this. So in heaven, behind those windows of heaven, is this blessing. Notice if you would. Look at verse 2. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Verse 2. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Would you like that? Would you like your children to be strong on the earth? You like them to be blessed? Then you need to make good verdicts. Respect the Lord. Lord, I want to put you first. Notice number 2. Our rewards will be eternal rewards. Look at verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. So the Lord actually promises us, if you've heard of the health and wealth gospel, there it is. The Lord does promise it, but he doesn't promise it if you give our church $50. That's not what brings it. It's a total life that's different. And so the Lord says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. I'll provide for you the things that you need. Now, our definition of wealth and riches may be different than his. A rich man in God's sight is one that's got peace in his heart and love in his family. He's rich. It's not about your bank account. But notice, if you would, his righteousness endureth forever. The Lord says, you're going to have treasures laid up in heaven because what you've done causes me to have stuff laid up in heaven for you. The reward of crown of righteousness, this crown and that crown. There's 5 of them. And I've got, maybe it's a white stone if you look in Revelation 2. And it's the morning star. We're going to look at that tonight in the city of Thyatira, morning star. I'll give you the morning star. I mean, the Lord's got things in Scripture that he's told us about we haven't even considered. I can't imagine what he's got behind those windows in heaven that we've never even thought of, that we could have. And notice, number 3, he gives us more light. We've read that before in verse 4. Under the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. So if you choose to do what's right, I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do. Well, keep in mind, that's a heart, that's a place where the heart is. That's a location where your heart is. I want to do what's right. But the verdict comes later. You're never going to make right decisions and right discretion and right verdicts if your heart desires, I just want to do what's right. I want to do upright things. So you'll notice he says, I'll give you more light. Do you want more light? You want more clarity in your life? Well, be blessed of God. It's one of his blessings. And then notice, I love this one. Look in verse 6. Surely he shall not be moved forever. Verse 7. He should not be afraid of evil. His heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. One of the blessings of those five things that you begin to develop a trust in the Lord, and your heart is fixed, so that the old devil can't move you, so that problems when they come doesn't change you. You're satisfied. You're comfortable. You know exactly where you are and why, and you're contented. He said your heart is fixed. And I just love the idea that you and I have a stability in our life. You know, whenever my family broke up, that stability was gone. And boy, I tell you, the difference between early in life and late in life was tremendous to me. It was traumatic. And I said, I never want that latter life. I want the early life. And so you begin to do things. You begin to seek out things of the Lord. And that's the reason I think Susan and I had such a sweet home, is because we sought things out. We went through and says, what does it take to be blessed of God? We want, Lord, your blessing. And in that came a trust in the Lord. That's one of the fruits. That's one of the blessings of the of God. So he opens up the windows of heaven. I'm going to pour trust out where you can trust me. And we get it and say, oh, Lord, I just trust you with this. If you're missing trust and a stability in life, then you need the blessings of God. And then lastly, notice if you would, verse number 7 and 8, he should not be afraid of evil tidings. He gives us a stability that it has an absence of inward fear. Can you imagine living the Christian life with no fears in your heart? No fears for your children? Totally trusting the Lord. No fears who they're going to marry? No fears they're going to get in the right job? No fears they're going to go to college, the right major? No fears that they're going to make the right friends? Trusting in the Lord. Today, just close with this. Are you blessed of the Lord? You can be. Five simple things. He gave it to us in Psalm 112. My encouragement to you is seek them out and say, Lord, I want to be blessed of you, because he will keep his word. Father, thank you today for the clarity of your word. Lord, I pray that you would bless this morning, bless the service. Father, I pray that the things that you've shown us in your word would ring true in our heart. In your name we pray. Amen.